ॐ अज्ञानतिमिरान्धस्य ज्ञानाञ्जनशलाकया चक्षुषुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः। श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूप कदा मह्यं ददाति स पदान्तिकं। वन्देऽहं श्रीगुर श्रीयुतपदकमलं श्रीगुरुं वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपं सागरजातं सहगना रघुनाथान्वितं तं सजीवं साधयितं सावधूतं परिजनसहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधाकृष्णपादं सहगना ललिता श्रीविशाखान्वितांश्च। नमो विष्णुपादाय कृष्णपृष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदान्त स्वामिनिति नामिने। नमस्ते सारस्वतीदेवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्यदेशतारिणे वंशाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धुभ्येव च पतितानां पापनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः। नमो महावदन्नाय कृष्णप्रेम प्रदायते कृष्णाय कृष्णचैतन्यनाम्ने गौरतिष्ये नमः। हे कृष्ण करुणा सिंध दीनबंध जगतपते गोपेश गोपिकाकांत राधाकांत नमस्तुते। तप्त कांचन गौरांगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरिप्रिय। जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्त वृंद। हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे। ओं नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओं नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओं नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृतं नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जय मुदीरये। नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवति उत्तम श्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नष्टिके। सो रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 4 चैप्टर 6 ब्रह्मा सैटिस्फाइड लॉर्ड शिवा टेक्स्ट नंबर 50-53। So text number 53 is on the board. So before that I'll read the translation of 50, 51 and 52. Then we'll chant text number 53 together. Text 50. My dear Lord Shiva, you are a shareholder of a portion of the sacrifice and you are the giver of the result. The bad priest did not deliver your share and therefore you destroyed everything and the sacrifice remains unfinished. Now you can do the needful and take your rightful share. Text 51. My dear Lord, Brahma is talking to Lord Shiva. My dear Lord, by your mercy, the performer of the sacrifice, King Daksha, may get back his life. Bhoga may get back his eyes, Bhrigu his moustache, and the Pusha his teeth. Text 52. O Lord Shiva, may the demigods and the priest whose limbs have been broken by your soldiers recover from the injuries by your grace. So now we'll chant text 53. एष ते रुद्रभागस्तु यद् उत्तिष्ठ अथर्वस्यैव यद् उत्तिष्ठ अथर्वस्य वै यज्ञस्ते रुद्रभागेन कल्पतामद्यज्ञहन् एष ते रुद्रभागस्तु जादुदिष्टाधरस्य वै जगस्ते रुद्रभागेन कल्पतामद्दजग्रहन् एष ते रुद्रभागस्तु जादुद्दिष्टाधरस्य वै जगस्ते रुद्रभागेन कल्पतामद्दजग्रहन् एषः दिस् ते इयर् रुद्र ओ लॉर्ड शिव भागः पर्सन् वस्तु लेट इट बी यत् व्हाट एवर् उच्छिष्ट इज द रिमाइंडर अधरस्य ऑफ द सैक्रिफाइस बाई इंडेड Jagya, the sacrifice. Te, your. Rudra, O Rudra. Bhagena, by the portion. Kalpatam, may be completed. Adya, today. Jagyahan, O destroyer of the sacrifice. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, S.E. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation. O destroyer of the sacrifice, please take your portion of the sacrifice and let the sacrifice be completed by your grace. Please repeat. O destroyer of the sacrifice, please take your portion of the sacrifice and let the sacrifice be completed by your grace. Purport. A sacrifice is a ceremony performed to please the Supreme Personality of Godhead. in the Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto, second chapter, it is stated that everyone should try to understand whether the Supreme Personality of Godhead is satisfied by his activity. In other words, the aim of our activities should be to satisfy the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Just as in an office, it is the duty of the worker to see that the proprietor or the master is satisfied. So everyone's duty is to see whether the Supreme Personality of Godhead is satisfied by one's activity. Activities to satisfy the Supreme Godhead are prescribed in Vedic literature, and execution of such activities is called yajna. In other words, acting on behalf of the Supreme Lord is called yajna. One should know very well that any activity besides yajna is the cause of material bondage. That is explained in Bhagavad Gita. Yajnartha karma nanatra lokayam karma bandhana. Karma bandhana means that if we do not work for the satisfaction of the Supreme Lord Vishnu, then the reaction of our work will bind us. One should not work for his own sense gratification. Everyone should work for the satisfaction of God. That is called yajna. After the yajna was performed by Daksha, all the demigods expected prasad, the remnants of the foodstuffs offered to Vishnu. Lord Shiva is one of the demigods, so naturally he also expected his share of the prasad from the yajna. But Daksha, out of his envy of Lord Shiva, neither invited Shiva to participate in the yajna or gave him his share after the offering. But after the destruction of the yajna arena by the followers of Lord Shiva, Lord Brahma pacified him and assured him that he would get his share of prasad. Thus, he was requested to rectify whatever destruction was caused by his followers. In Bhagavad Gita, it is said that all the demigods are satisfied when one performs yajna, because the demigod expects prasad from yajna. Yajna must be performed. Those who engage in sense gratificatory materialistic activities must perform yajna, otherwise they will be implicated. Thus, Daksha, being the father of mankind, was performing yajna, and Lord Shiva expected its share. But since Shiva was not invited, there was trouble. By the mediation of Lord Brahma, however, everything was settled satisfactorily. The performance of yajna is a very difficult task, because all the demigods must be invited to participate in the yajna. In this Kali Yuga, it is not possible to perform such costly sacrifices, nor is it possible to invite the demigods to participate. Therefore, in this age, it is recommended, yajnai sankirtane praya yajanti hi sumedhasa. Those who are intelligent should know that in the Kali Yuga, there is no possibility of performing the Vedic sacrifices. But unless one pleases demigods, there will be no regulated seasonal activities or rainfall. Everything is controlled by the demigods. Under the circumstances in this age, in order to keep the balance of social peace and prosperity, all intelligent men should execute the performance of Sankirtan and Yajna by chanting the holy names Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. One should invite people, chant Hare Krishna, and then distribute prasad. This yajna will satisfy all the demigods, and thus there will be peace and prosperity in the world. Another difficulty in performing Vedic rituals is that if one fails to satisfy even one demigod out of many hundreds of thousands of demigods, just as Daksha failed to satisfy Lord Shiva, there will be disaster. But in this age, the performance of sacrifice has been simplified. One can chant Hare Krishna, and by pleasing Krishna, one can satisfy all the demigods automatically. Mukham kuruti vachalam pangul langhaita girim jatkipata moham bande sri guru tarinam paramananda madhavam sri chaitana sharam namam vishnu padaya krishna. So today is the end of chapter 6. So Lord Brahma, somehow through his technique of mediation, has satisfied Lord Shiva. So technique of mediation is not something new. It's coming from Srimad Bhagavatam. So mediation is needed even in the field of top class people, demigods. There is also need of mediation. So Lord Brahma is mediating Lord Shiva. Although Lord Shiva is higher than Lord Brahma. So when you become a party, So we need a neutral person to mediate. So the quality of a mediator is that he should not take any side. So Lord Brahma and Lord Vishnu knew that there will be something serious in the sacrificial arena of Daksha. That's why they were not there and they are not a part of the sacrifice. So Lord Brahma was neutral. Therefore, he could take the position of a mediator and could mediate. So I was thinking that a leader of a society should be a little aloof from day-to-day activity so that he will not be part of the whole fighting. In case that happens, then he can take a neutral role and mediate. So therefore, matured leaders who has the potency, they should be aloof from day-to-day management, I think. So then we have some chance to have some neutral people to mediate. So demigods management, so there was some confusion. Although Lord Brahma was the demigod, he did not take part in this sacrifice. Therefore, he could take the position of a mediator and mediate Lord Shiva also. That is the power of neutrality in leadership. So therefore, we should be very much careful not to take any party. And then we can become very, very powerful and can mediate our superiors also, just like Lord Brahma did the mediation of Lord Shiva. Very, very important. We should not take part. But in this material world of duality, we have a tendency to think that somebody is our friend and somebody is our enemy. That is the duality of the mind. And that is the root cause of our dissatisfaction in this world. And Lord Krishna speaks in Bhagavad Gita, what is the austerity of the mind? Because austerity of the body is easy to perform. But austerity of the mind is the real austerity, because advancement in our Krishna consciousness depends on our situation of the mind. So mind plays a very important role. And Krishna, I was going through Prabhupada's folio and I saw that Krishna has given a very simple formula to make the mind peaceful. I was thinking how to make the mind peaceful. And peaceful mind is the foundation to advance in Krishna consciousness. If mind is restless, it's very difficult to concentrate in spiritual activity and advance in Krishna consciousness. So I was thinking that mind is very difficult to control. And Krishna gives very simple formula. He says mind should be engaged in two types of activities. He said mind should be absorbed in chanting and hearing about Krishna, although difficult. And second thing we have to do, when our mind is not absorbed in chanting and hearing, that time we should think for the welfare of others. If mind is involved in these two activities, then there is no question of duality of the mind. So simple, no? Very simple formula to make the mind peaceful. So always absorbed in chanting and hearing, Prabhupada explains in the purport that we should always engage in chanting Hare Krishna, hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, and in that way mind will be absorbed in Krishna consciousness. And when we have something else to do, that time mind should be focused how to do good to others. It means that that stage of mind is very, very high stage. And that needs a good quality of the mind, that you don't think that someone is your friend, someone is your enemy. You have to be beyond that platform. And that is called Brahma-Buddha platform. Then I related, that is the position of a Brahma-Buddha stage. So that stage can be achieved when we achieve the quality as explained by Krishna in Bhagavad Gita, Brahma-Buddha-Prasanna-Atma. So when mind is very blissful, ब्रह्मभूत प्रसन्न आत्मा ना शोचति ना कांक्षति समसर्वेषु भूतेषु मद्भक्ति लभते परम. दैट इज द सीक्रेट ऑफ एडवांसमेंट इन कृष्ण कॉन्शियसनेस. सो आवर माइंड इज ऑलवेज हैंकरिंग एंड लैमेंटिंग. लैमेंटेशन एंड हैंकरिंग आर द क्वालिटीज ऑफ द कंडीशन माइंड. वी हैंकर फॉर व्हाट वी डोंट हैव एंड वी लैमेंट इफ वी लूज समथिंग. So that is the stage of conditioned soul. We lament and hanker. And because of that, we see people as our friend or enemy. Those who help us in our material achievement of hankering and lamentation, they are our friends. And those who create obstacles on my path of material attachment, they are enemies. But at the stage of Brahmabhuta, he neither hankers nor laments, because he knows the secret is revealed to that person. What is the secret? Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Vaktaram Jagatapasang Sarvaloka Maheshwaram Suidang Sarvabhutanam Yattamang Santimirchati. So Krishna says that he is the supreme proprietor of everything and is the supreme enjoyer. If he is the proprietor of everything, then nothing belongs to me, right? So then what I have to lose? Nothing to lose. And if I don't have anything, then why to hanker for? Because nothing belongs to me, then why hankering for anything which does not belong to me? So that verse of Bhagavad Gita can change the life. The whole dimension of our life can change if we can accept that verse of Bhagavad Gita, that he is the supreme enjoyer, Vaktaram Jagatapasang. So that is the purport here, whole purport. Prabhupada explains that concept, that Krishna is Vakta, he is the enjoyer. If we accept that, Bhakti Vinod Thakur explains, Jeev Krishna Das Ei Vishwas Korle Toar Dukkha Nai. So if we accept that we are the servant of Krishna, then there is no question of lamentation. But we lament because we don't accept that basic principle of our life, that Krishna is the master. Ekela Ishwara Krishna Arshav Vritta, including Balaram, starting from the insignificant living entity unto Balaram, everybody is a servant. And Krishna is the only master. That is the teachings of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So if we accept that concept of life, then there is nothing to worry about and mind will be always absorbed in Krishna's service. But the problem is that we have an enjoying spirit in this material world. We want to become big in this material world. Bigger and bigger and bigger, because that Ishwara Bhav, Krishna is Asama Urdha. Nobody is equal to him, nobody is above him. But in this journey, in the journey of the conditioned soul in this material world, we have the same attitude. We want to become Asama Urdha. Nobody should be equal to me and nobody should be above me. That's why our mind is always restless. Because the condition of this material world is that someone is always equal to me or someone is above me, and that disturbs my life. Right? So therefore, it is very difficult to surrender. The conditioned mind always stops us to surrender because we have the Ishwara Bhav. We want to become above or at least equal to someone. But at that level you cannot surrender. When you can surrender? When you think you are inferior. That is the success. That is the secret of success. That Trinadapi Sunichana, we always say like that. Trinadapi Sunichana, Tararupi Swaishnana, Amanina, Manadena, Kriptaniya, Sadahari. It's the highest platform. it's a necklace of the Gaudiya Vaishnava. And it is explained, if we can practice that sloka of Shikshastakam, then we can become pure devotee of the Lord. So, but that platform is very difficult to achieve because of our enjoying spirit. So therefore, there was a man and he was a big, rich businessman. And he had a servant. So one day that master was not there in the house. And he was cleaning the house, the servant. And he entered into the bedroom of that master. And generally the bedroom of a rich man is very beautiful. So while he was cleaning, he got attracted. And he saw the bed. Beautiful bed, soft mattresses, pillow and cool weather. So he felt very attractive. He said that, I sleep on the floor in the garage maybe. But this man is so nicely sleeping. So why not I try? Today he is not there. So he was lying down on the bed. And it was so comfortable, so he fell asleep. And in the meantime, the master came. And master was searching the servant, where is the servant? And searching, he came to the bedroom. And when he entered, he saw that his servant is lying on the bed. So how will feel? Anybody or any one of us, if we feel like, see like that, we become angry. So that master also became very angry. And he took a stick and started beating that servant. So he was giving heavy duty beating and he was laughing to the servant. More beating, more laughing. And that master became very frustrated. Instead of crying, you are laughing. I am beating you so much. He said, why you are laughing? He said, I am just laughing just because I am seeing you. And by seeing you, I am laughing. He said, why? By seeing me you are laughing? He said that I slept for half an hour. And because of that I am getting so much beating. And you are sleeping whole life. So how much beating you will get by seeing that I am laughing? So that happens. That happens to a servant who wants to become a master. So we are the servant of Krishna. Everything is meant for Krishna's enjoyment. But when we take position of Krishna, it happens to us like that servant who wanted to become the master. So same thing will happen to us. It's not happen, it is happening. Life after life is happening. Still we are not understanding. We are getting the slap of Maya at every step. Still we are thinking we can be happy in this world. And Prabhupada said that when our unhappiness begins, at the moment we try to become happy in this material world, at that point our unhappiness begins. Because we are contradicting the verdict of Krishna. Krishna says, Dukkhalayam Asashatam. He has created this world and he says this world is full of miseries. So if you want to change that, then you are violating the technology of Krishna. Krishna's technology has said that this world is full of miseries. You cannot change it. Prabhupada said that this Krishna conscious movement always talks about negative things. Because outside world, everybody, they are trying to give some hope. Art of living. How to live nicely so that you can become happy. The promise they give, that you can become happy. Prabhupada said they are cheaters and people are getting cheated. And we say what the Krishna conscious devotees, they are treated always negative. You always see negative in your life. You are frustrated people. You don't give hope to the people. The thing is, there is no water in the desert. I was hearing that example. There is no water in the desert. is positive or negative? It's neither positive nor negative. It's the reality. So Krishna conscious movement gives the reality of life. So Krishna speaks reality. So there is no happiness in this world is a reality. It may look like negative, but is the reality of this world. And our positive mind always tries to adjust that negative verdict of Krishna, and that is the root cause of our suffering in this material world. So therefore, the success lies to accept that I am the servant of Krishna, and the success of our life depends on our attitude that my life should be dedicated with mind, body and words for the service of Krishna. And that is the proof of acceptance of the sloka of Krishna in Bhagavad Gita, that Bhaktaram Jagatapasang Sarvaloka Maheshwaram Suhidang Sarva Bhutanam Gyatamang Santi Vichyati. But if we try to become happy in this world, that proves that we are envious of Krishna. We always think, how we can become envious of Krishna? We are the devotees of Krishna, we always serve Krishna. But attitude is in the mind. As long as enjoying spirit of the mind is there, we are envious of Krishna. And as long as that envy is there, then we will be envious of others. And in that situation, mind cannot think of welfare of others, and mind cannot think about Krishna, because mind is tempted by our snake of envy. So therefore, Srimad Bhagavatam begins that dharma parjita koita bhatra nirmat saranang satang. So freedom from envy is very, very important to advance in our Krishna consciousness. And it's easy, and Krishna has given a very simple formula. We are envious of three kinds of people. We are envious of Krishna, what means we are envious of Lord. We are envious of devotees, and we are envious of all living entities. Three categories of people. So how to take care of this envy? Prabhupada said, if you are envious of someone, serve them. Service is the counteraction of envy. So we are envious of Krishna, therefore we have to serve Krishna. So the service of Krishna in this age is very simple. Prabhupada explains in the purport, not in this purport. I was checking the folio in everywhere. Wherever there is a talk about Jagya, he always talks about Sankirtan Jagya. So in this age, service to Krishna is very, very simple. And the process is Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. If you faithfully chant this Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, our envy towards Krishna will go away. That's why Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, Name Ruchi. If we develop taste in Krishna's name, then our envious attitude towards Krishna will go away. Name Ruchi. Then we are envious of other living entities. Therefore, we cannot think of welfare of others. And the best welfare activity, according to Mahaprabhu's teachings, is to give Krishna consciousness. So therefore, Mahaprabhu says, if we don't preach Krishna consciousness, that proves we are envious of living entities. So therefore, Jive Daya is the process to overcome our envy towards living entities. And to Jive Daya shows that we are preaching Krishna consciousness to others. So through preaching Krishna consciousness, we can get rid of our envious nature towards other living entities. Name Ruchi, Jive Daya. Then other thing is, the most difficult part, is enviousness towards the devotees. Very difficult. And is very deep-rooted, because we always stay with the devotees. Association of devotees is the birth of bhakti. In the same time, association of devotees is the birth of envy. Very, very difficult to appreciate devotees. At the beginning is okay. At the beginning, Prabhupada says everyone looks like pure devotees, no? But as soon as you come in and becomes familiar with the devotees, then slowly, slowly, familiarity breeds contempt, no? So through familiarity, we start judging devotees from material point of view. Start judging people like that. And that happens, that sadhu ninda or blaspheming devotees, the root cause is asat sangha. If we associate with materialistic people, asat sangha, then we develop an attitude of envy towards the devotees. Because we judge the devotees from material point of view. So that's why when Mahaprabhu was asked what is the behavior of a Vaishnava, he said, asat sangha tyag ei Vaishnavacha. Trisangi yaka sadhu krishna bhaktava. So Mahaprabhu said the quality of a Vaishnava is judged that asat sangha tyag. He has to give up the association of non-devotees. So when we associate with the materialistic people, and one of the asadhu is that hypocritical materialistic devotees. Problem. If you, other people, the Mayavadis, you can understand a little bit, very difficult in this age. Atheistic, you can understand. But hypocritical materialistic devotee is very difficult to judge. They are in the dress of a devotee. But they have a different platform of understanding of devotional service. And if you associate with them, then slowly, slowly, if they judge the devotees by material standard, then you also associate, if you also develop that type of quality, if you associate with that kind of people. What Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, that those who have taken shelter of Krishna, they are Mahatma. If someone has taken shelter of Krishna by chanting his holy name, according to Mahaprabhu, if one chants a holy name once, he is a Vaishnava. So, what to talk of those who are chanting continuously, taken shelter of Prabhupada's movement. So, they are Mahatma. But it doesn't mean they don't have material deficiencies. But if we judge those devotees by their material deficiencies, then we are deriding the power of pure devotional service given by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So, Mahaprabhu says, these bad qualities will be taken care of through the process of devotional service. Then who are we to judge their material disqualifications, material deficiencies, and judging them on that material platform? And that's like shooting an arrow in the heart of Krishna. Just like when we talk bad about the devotees, then it's like shooting an arrow and it hits the heart of Krishna. Very painful for Krishna to hear bad about the devotees. Therefore, how much we should become careful. But the problem of us is like a tasty, very tasty. Talk bad about devotees is very tasty for all of us. Because that is the disease of the conditioned soul. So therefore, the main thing is that we should associate with the people, those devotees who are not envious, and serve them. That's why Vaishnava Seva is very, very important. And I was reading one lecture by Radhanath Maharaj. He was talking about Grihastha Ashram. And he was telling that if a Grihastha does not invite exalted devotees in their home and serve them, their house is like a Andhakupam. So very important message. And he was quoting that Srila Prabhupada's father, Gaur Mohan De, used to invite Vaishnavas every day at night, 5-6. And he used to feed them, and after feeding, he used to tell this Vaishnava, please bless my son, so that he can become a nice devotee of Srimati Radharani. So Vaishnava Seva plays a very, very important role. But in our Krishna consciousness movement, we see that serving the Vaishnava has become very, very less important nowadays. Very less important. And because of that, whatever you do, unless you do Vaishnava Seva, serving the Vaishnavas, it's very difficult to develop the taste of the holy name. That Srimad Bhagavatam says, Sat Maha Sevaya Vipra, Punna Tirthani Sevana. Unless you serve the pure devotees of the Lord, it's very, very difficult to develop taste in chanting and hearing of the pastimes and holy name of the Lord. Very difficult. You cannot. Therefore, to get free from the envy towards the devotees, the best way is to serve the Vaishnava. And you should serve that Vaishnava with whom you are envious. Very difficult. So, three stages you can get rid of. First, generally what happens, when you are envious of someone, you start thinking bad about him. That's called envy and jealousy within. But it cannot remain within. It has to come out. And it comes out through words. And it does not stay in that level. You start thinking how to do bad to him. Three levels. But that can be changed, reversed. So instead of thinking bad about him, forcefully start thinking good about him. Some qualities. Then, whenever you talk, talk good about him. Difficult. This is called austerity. Austerity of not eating, this is very easy, as I see. But austerity of this kind is most difficult. And if you can do this austerity, then advancement is very fast. Austerity of the mind is the most important austerity. And that is very, very difficult and subtle. Nobody can see it, no. But Krishna sees and you know. And the pure devotees also sees your heart. So then we talk good about them. Then whenever you get chance, serve them with pure heart. Although you cannot, but still serve. And slowly, slowly through service, your envious nature will go away. And slowly, slowly you develop love and respect. Because that service is very, very potent. So therefore we should have more faith in the service of the Lord rather than our own mental speculation. So that is the way we should look at it. And Krishna, Srila Prabhupada explains in the purport that in this age, satisfying Krishna is very easy. The process is very simple. The process is the chanting of the holy name of the Lord. That is Sankirtan Yajna. And it is also recommended in Srimad Bhagavatam that Krishna Varnati Sa Krishnam Sangha Pangasta Parshadam Yajnai Sankirtanai Praya Yajantihi Sumedasa. Those who are intelligent, those who take part in the Sankirtan Yajna inaugurated by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So, the chanting, Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains, Kirtaniya Sadahari. Mahaprabhu also says, Kirtaniya Sadahari. Always chant. How it is possible? Very difficult. But it is possible. One day, someone, I think Yudhishthir Maharaj or Lord Bhim, he asked Krishna, why you are so much attracted by Arjuna? Why? So, he took him. And that time, Arjuna was sleeping in his room. And when he entered, he started hearing Krishna, 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 Krishna. And they are thinking, where from the sound is coming? And then Krishna saw that Arjuna is sleeping, but his pores, his different limbs of the body is chanting my name. That is Arjuna's situation. How much absorbed he is in Krishna consciousness. I was thinking that Krishna told Arjuna, while you fight, think about me and fight. I was thinking, how it is possible? Even if we are chanting, we cannot think of Krishna. Our mind goes here and there, and he is telling, fight at the same time, think of Krishna. Very simple process. And Prabhupada said that Krishna consciousness is so nice and simple. Do your work. He is telling now. Yajna means, do your work for the satisfaction of Krishna. So you have to do your work thinking of Krishna. But Arjuna was advised to think of Krishna while fighting. But we are chanting the holy name of the Lord, still we cannot think of Krishna. So what a state of mind we have. So therefore, the root cause of 10 offenses of the holy name is inattentive chanting. Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains. Inattentive chanting is the root cause of all our offenses of the holy name. So therefore, somehow or other, we have to focus our mind in chanting of the holy name. And that is the secret of success of our life. And I was giving the example that by doing deity worship every day, by doing puja every day, you become expert pujari. By singing every day, you become expert singer. By playing mridanga every day, you become expert mridanga player. By doing management for a long time, you become expert manager. By doing book distribution for a long time, you become expert book distributor. By cooking for a long time, you become expert cook. But there is no such thing. By chanting regularly, you become expert chanter. That key is with Krishna. If Krishna does not give that expertise to the devotees. Because it is explained by Rupa Goswami in Nectar of Devotion that pure devotional service is sudurlava. It is extremely rare. And why it is extremely rare? We cannot achieve it by our own endeavor. First reason. And second reason, Krishna doesn't want to give it. So because of these two reasons, that pure devotional service is sudurlava, extremely rare. So pure chanting of the holy name cannot come through from our heart by our own endeavor. Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains in Jaiva Dharma, we chant by our tongue. So by chanting from our tongue, it comes not the holy name. It comes out the letters and syllables of the holy name. It's not the holy name. By our tongue, we cannot chant the holy name. Pure chanting comes from the heart. And if you want to chant the holy name purely from our heart, we cannot do by our own endeavor. That key is with the pure devotees. If we hear very sincerely from the pure devotees of the Lord, if the pure devotees are satisfied with our service and with our receptive attitude, then by their mercy, if that holy name and pure Krishna Katha comes within our heart, then our heart becomes a good place to hold that holy name, pure holy name. And from that platform, we can chant the pure name of the Lord. And that is the only way we can chant the holy name purely. And it is completely dependent on the mercy of the pure Vaishnavas. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Any question or comment? Yes, Mataji, mic.
Hare Krishna. Thank you for a nice class. You can hear?
Louder.
It's on?
Yes.
I just want to make sure I got the story right about the servant that slept on the master's bed. The story right about the servant that slept on the master's bed. At the end of the story you said he was laughing when he was getting beaten. Is that because he knew that he would get beaten by Krishna?
Yes.
So he was very intelligent.
Yes, very intelligent. Intelligent servant. This allegory is a story to explain, to give a message. Yeah, it's an intelligent servant.
That's just what I wanted clarity.
Okay.
And my second question is, with chanting Hare Krishna, we hear that Krishna dances on your tongue, but we also hear that the mouth is the most dirty place of the body. So why is it Krishna dances on the tongue? Why isn't it Krishna dances in the heart?
Because Krishna, just like Krishna is there in everyone's heart. It's not that Krishna is there only in pure devotee's heart. Krishna is there in everyone's heart. But Krishna is there as Paramatma. He is very active in non-devotee's heart. Because he has to do so many things, no? But when someone becomes a pure devotee, then that heart becomes a resting place, and Govinda Vishram, then Krishna takes rest. So it becomes a resting place for Krishna. So therefore, Krishna can dance in the heart also. It's not that Krishna cannot dance. But while you chant in the tongue, because Krishna and Krishna's name is non-different. So as soon as you chant purely, Krishna's name transforms into the form of Krishna. Naam, then Roop. So when you chant purely, the first transformation takes place, Krishna assumes his form. And what to do? Krishna is in dancing form. So Krishna has to dance. So when that holy name is uttered purely at the tongue, Krishna has no other choice than to dance on your tongue. That is explained by Rupa Goswami. Okay.
One more thing. So does that mean the mouth is then cleaned by Krishna, or Krishna doesn't?
Krishna is not touched by material nature. Krishna is there as Paramatma also in the body of the insect lying in the stool. So Krishna is not touched by external material nature. Krishna is transcendental. So his name, his form is also transcendental. Is not dependent on the cleanliness of the tongue of our material body. Yes, Mike. Why sound? Yes.
Hare Krishna Prabhu. Thank you for your highly inspiring class. I have a comment and I have a question. My comment is that I very much appreciated what you were saying about how to overcome our envious nature. We need to think some nice things about other devotees who we're envious of, and do some seva for them. And it reminds me of a story of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, where whenever devotees would fight, he would always bring them together and he would insist, okay, now you say something nice about this devotee.
I told that story in the last class, that's why I didn't say this class.
Oh, I wasn't here. Yeah. Can you tell it again for me?
Really? I told that story. There was two devotees, his sannyasi disciples, fighting with each other. Very much. Then one day he called both of them. He said that throughout your life, in mutt, you always talked bad about each other. So today, you should start talking good. So then he said, first sannyasi, say one good quality of other sannyasi. Then he was thinking, and found one good quality. Then he said, the other one, okay, you try. Then he also found out one good quality. And slowly, they started one by one, and so many things came out. Then he said, you have so many good qualities, I never knew. So in that way, then why you are searching for so many bad qualities? There are so many good qualities. So beauty lies in the eyes of the beholder. So therefore, we have to upgrade our consciousness. Then you can see the good qualities in others. So that's the way Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur wanted to teach us. There is other story also.
Other story?
No. Next class. So any question?
Yeah, my question, Prabhu, is that you revealed to us one of the internal understandings of why Lord Brahma was not present in the sacrifice, so that he could remain neutral in order to perform the mediation. So that's an internal reason. What about externally? Can we have some understanding why Lord Brahma was not present in the sacrifice of Daksha? Was he invited? Was he not invited? Why he was not present there? He's so prominent. If Shiva should be there, then I feel Lord Brahma also should be there. But why he was not there externally?
Externally? Because, I don't know, main thing is that this whole thing is arranged by Krishna. That in that way we should take the teachings of Srimad Bhagavatam. Because Lord Shiva should not be treated as an ordinary person. So when he is doing like that, so I think it's my way of understanding. That is all arranged by Krishna. And by Krishna's desire, Brahma was not there. External reason, I don't know. I have no idea. Because there should not be any external reason. Otherwise, externally Brahma should be there. Right? In the normal sense, all the demigods are there. He is the head of demigods. He should be there. But by the plan, Krishna is the most intelligent person. So somehow or other, he inspired Brahma not to go there. So that he can do the mediation. Otherwise, he has to do mediation, no? Maybe he is so much tired of doing so many mediations, so maybe he wanted to take a break of mediation. Because all the time, demigods, demons fighting and go to Vishnu. So, and he is headed by Brahma. Always, demigods' problem, headed by Brahma, go to Hiradaksai Vishnu. Help, help, help. So, he thought this time maybe Brahma should do the job. But it's written, they understood that it's in some text, Lord Brahma and Vishnu knew that this is going to happen. That's why they did not go into the sacrificial arena of Daksha. Okay. So we'll stop here. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam ki samaveta gaura bhaktavinda ki nitai gaura premanandi.